Today on The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young.
Jesus says that when we're angry, we are guilty of murder. And you see the penalty involved? Did you notice that? Look back in Matthew. It says that everyone who is angry with his brother shall be guilty before the court. This is God's courtroom. Jesus is dealing with the basic emotion of anger. And listen, ladies and gentlemen, anger is a common emotion to every one of us.
What if the Ten Commandments weren't so much about your actions, but about your thoughts? Would you be able to keep God's law? Welcome to The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young. I'm Wayne Shepherd. The Old Testament mandate, thou shalt not murder, becomes the New Testament principle, thou shalt not think murderous thoughts. The truth is, when Jesus teaches, we're all convicted felons. Dr. Young talks about this today when he begins his message called Anger Management. And that's next when The Winning Walk returns from this short break. Welcome back to The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young. To thank you for your gift to help The Winning Walk end the year strong, Dr. Young wants to send you a special CD series called Overcoming Pain in Your Life. In these seven insightful messages, Dr. Young shares proven truth about how painful emotions like anxiety, depression, loneliness, jealousy, and anger can actually draw you closer to God. And this important resource is our gift to thank you for your donation to help keep this Winning Walk broadcast sharing God's proven truth on this station. So call now with your donation and request your copy at 1-800-350-WALK, 1-800-350-9255. Today, we're beginning an important two-part study called Anger Management. Here's Dr. Ed Young.
The Old Testament took the principle of murder and applied it externally. And we see this in verse number one we're going to look at in Matthew 5. Jesus is speaking. He said, "You have heard that the ancients were told, you shall not commit murder. And whoever commits murder shall be liable to the court of law." The Old Testament dealt with murder externally. If someone asked you what was the first crime committed in the Bible, it would be homicide. We know that Cain murdered his brother Abel, and murder has been taking place ever since. In America, on an average year, 25,000 people are murdered. Murder one, homicide. Now, you add to that pre-birth murder, abortion, which takes place. You add to that self-murder, which is suicide. And we see that murder is very much a part of our world and a part of our society. Now, we need to understand when you read this commandment, the sixth commandment, thou shalt not kill, it should be read, thou shalt not murder. That's the Hebrew word. And those who would be pacifist and say, well, the Bible teaches that we should not kill, do not understand that particular word. In fact, a part of the teaching of Moses says that when you take a life, you must give your life. So capital punishment is built in the tenets of Scripture. Look at, if you would, in Genesis chapter number 9. Genesis 9, verse 6, whoever sheds man's blood, by man his blood shall be shed. For in the image of God he made man. Why is a human life sacred? It is because a human life is made in the very image of God. Therefore, when someone in a premeditative fashion takes someone else's life for selfish reasons, whatever those reasons might be, that is homicide, that is murder. And the Bible teaches that someone who does that should pay for that crime with their life. Also, the Bible talks about legitimate war. It talks about self-defense. It talks about an accidental death. And it makes other provisions here But for murder one, the scripture is clear. Thou shalt not murder. And the Old Testament looks at this externally. This is an external thing that you do, and you would not break this commandment under the Old Testament law if you did not kill anybody. But then we see Jesus takes this and he equates not just what the hand does, but with the motivations of the heart. Jesus says simply this, he takes murder, and Jesus says it is an internal thing. Jesus deals with murder internally. It's not just the fact I've never taken my hand and killed someone, but Jesus says if I in my heart have been angry toward someone, I am guilty of murder, and you are guilty of murder. Therefore, we sit here tonight and have to confess, from Jesus' perspective, every one of us are murderers. But Jesus looks at the heart. Jesus didn't say that if I am angry, it is like murdering. It is what leads up to murder. Jesus says that when we're angry, we are guilty of murder. And you see the penalty involved? Did you notice that? Look back in Matthew. It says, but I say to you, verse 22, that everyone who is angry with his brother shall be guilty before the court. Now, where is this court? This is God's courtroom. There is no court in the world. They would take you in there and say, hey, road rage, you got angry, we're taking you to jail. We're taking you before the judge. This is God's court. Therefore, when I am angry and when you are angry, we can be guilty of murder in the sight of God, and we are taken to the court. Look what he says in the next thing. It gets even more serious. He says, and whoever shall say to his brother, Raca, Raca, shall be guilty before the Supreme Court. Did you see that? If I'm angry at you, I'm before God's court. I'm in trouble with you. I'm guilty of murder. But if I say Raca to you, they take you and take me before God's Supreme Court. What does Raca mean? It means that you speak to someone in a contemptuous fashion. You know, it demeans someone tremendously when we treat someone with contempt. When someone says, I am smarter than you, and they sort of put us down. I have more money than you, and they elevate themselves up. I disdain you. I push you to one side because you are a nobody. When you treat someone with contempt, Jesus said, you need to be taken before the Supreme Court of God. In God's sight, there's equality. In God's sight, there is level ground at the foot of the cross. We need to go to God's Supreme Court. But look at the next thing that's said here. The last part there. And whoever shall say you fool shall be guilty enough to go into fiery hell. What does it mean to call someone a fool? The scripture says the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. It means that we are demeaning someone's character. You are guilty of character assassination. You say, well, I don't do that. Let me tell you, most of us are very skillful at doing that. We slander someone. You say, well, I don't tell anything untruth about someone. If you tell the truth about someone in order to hurt them or harm them or to attack their character, that is wrong in God's sight. And God says, you ought to go right to hell. That's the reason a lot of fine church pew-sitting people who go by the name of Christians who spend most of their life hearing stories, idle tales, gossip or rumor. Some are truth, some are half-truth, some have no truth at all. And we use this as the source of our conversation. Jesus said, you ought to be thrown in the fiery pits of hell.
You're listening to The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young. And in just a moment, we'll continue our message, Anger Management. Remember, Dr. Young wants to send you a special gift to thank you for your donation to help The Winning Walk end the year strong. It's his CD series called Overcoming Pain in Your Life. And the seven messages in the series are especially relevant during the holiday season when many people feel increased loneliness, anxiety, and depression. But Dr. Young shares proven truth about how painful emotions can actually draw you closer to God. So be sure to call now with your donation and request your copy of Overcoming Pain in Your Life. Call 1-800-350-WALK. 1-800-350-9255. There's more proven truth ahead about how to handle hot emotions.
And finally, it says if you really attack the character of someone, even though their character may be fraud, it may be low and scheming and conniving, but if we peddle that and parade that person's character in that way, Jesus says you deserve to be thrown in the fire pits of hell.
That's next when The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young continues after this short break. Welcome back to The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young. Be sure to visit our brand new website to catch up on messages in this series you may have missed at winningwalk.org. You'll find this month's series called The Best of The Winning Walk, Volume 1 and 2, and other resources to give you a fresh new perspective on your relationship with God. Again, that's winningwalk.org. While you're there, you can sign up for Dr. Young's free email devotional. And don't forget to follow us on Twitter at Winning Walk. Now, here's Dr. Young with more proven truth about how to handle hot emotions.
Let me tell you something that's troubling to me as I studied this passage and I looked in the mirror. We have gotten to the point that many of us have our personalities on the basis of cutting and knifing, and we use it as humor, but we have such a constant diet of it, it's lost its effectiveness, and it becomes an assassination on the character of those we put in their place or those we put down, and it can mean our own mates or our own children. Time out. I wonder what would happen if all of us would take 30 days and say, all the barbs, all the sarcasm, all the wit and all the sadistic and the putting down humor, let's just put it on hold. For a lot of us, we'd be in a terrific strain because that's become the thrust of who we are. So Jesus is giving a warning to us here. He is saying simply, if you get angry, you could be before the court of God. You need to go there and deal before the court of the Almighty. He says, if you go and you slander someone, you call them raka, you demean them, you lift yourself up. And by the way, we can do that by bragging on ourselves, by cutting someone down behind their back, saying they're not real, they're not sincere, or just say something like, oh, I can't say anything, but oh, if you knew what I knew. That's the deadliest thing of all. Jesus says you ought to go before the Supreme Court of God. And finally, he says if you really attack the character of someone, even though their character may be fraud, it may be low and scheming and conniving, but if we peddle that and parade that person's character in that way, Jesus says you deserve to be thrown in the fire pits of hell. You say, oh, I thought that's where bad people go. Jesus is saying when we gossip, when we gossip to hurt people, we deserve hell. Scary, isn't it? And then he gives two illustrations of these principles he has enunciated. Listen to him. They are so, so practical. Two illustrations. The first one, verse 23. Jesus is speaking. He says, if therefore you are presenting your offering at the altar And there, remember that your brother has something against you. Did you get that? That your brother has something against you. Not that you have something against your brother. Your brother has something against you. Leave your offering there before the altar and go your way. First, be reconciled to your brother and then come and present your offering. Jesus is saying, he's saying, I want you to walk with me to the temple. And they would go to the temple and they would bring their animals as a sacrifice for their sin. And Jesus is saying, watch this fellow. He's going into the court of the Gentiles. He goes to the court of the women. He goes to the court of the men. And he comes to the rail, the bench, to offer his sacrifice to the priest. Before he does that, he would place his hand on the animal. And this is what he would do. He would say, God, I have sinned. I am in rebellion against you. Please forgive me for, and he would confess exactly what his sin was. None of this, Lord, forgive me of all my many sins. Quit praying that. Spell it out when you're by yourself in your quiet time. Don't forgive me of my many sins. You say, well, God knows. You tell him. That's what they did. They put their hands on the animal and they would press on the animal. This is substitution. I'm transferring my sin into this animal. And here is someone who's walked from the court of Gentile to the court of the women and the court of the men. And he's at the altar and he's pressing the animal. He has literally confessed his sin. And now he picks up that animal to hand to the priest. And the priest would sacrifice the animal. And God leads him to remember that a fellow brother, in the context of the church, it would be a Christian, is upset with that person, or the sin that he had confessed, he had not gone back and tried to make things right with that brother. Let's say he had stolen something. He said, oh, God, forgive me for stealing. Let me tell you, God's never going to forgive you or me for anything until we repent and we make restitution. Restitution. You're wasting your breath unless we're willing to make restitution, unless we repent. And this guy remembered. He couldn't offer that sacrifice. It wouldn't mean one thing to God. It would not enhance his worship. He had to go find that brother. So he took that animal and he walked back out and he went to find his brother to try to make things right with his brother. He was not upset with his brother. His brother was upset with him. And then after it was right, then he could come back. Then he would offer his sacrifice. What is this all about for us in the church? It's saying, if we want our prayers to become alive, if we want worship to be dynamic and fulfilling, we have to make sure that we have confessed our sin and repented of our sin, and we sought to make everything right with our brothers and our sisters who are in the family of God. See? That's when our worship will catch fire. That's when we'll go to church and say, oh, I'll tell you, God spoke to me. God dealt with me. So that's the first illustration. The second illustration Jesus uses, it's just as timely. It's for those who are not Christians. He said, verse 25, make friends quickly with your opponent at law while you're with him on the way, in order that your opponent may not deliver you to the judge, and to the judge to the officer, and you be thrown to prison. Truly I say to you, you shall not come out of there until you have paid up the last cent.
Anger Management. That's the title of today's message on The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young. To thank you for your donation to help The Winning Walk end the year strong, Dr. Young wants to send you a special CD series called Overcoming Pain in Your Life. In these 7 insightful messages, he shares proven truth about overcoming painful emotions like loneliness, anxiety, and depression. Find out how difficult feelings like these can actually draw you closer to God when you call with your donation and request your copy of Overcoming Pain in Your Life. call 1-800-350-WALK, 1-800-350-9255. And stay with us. The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Yung returns right after this short break. Welcome back to The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Yung. We're about to return to today's message, Anger Management, but before we do, remember, Dr. Yung wants to send you a special CD series called Overcoming Pain in Your Life to thank you for your donation to help The Winning Walk end the year strong. In these seven insightful messages, he shares proven truth about how painful emotions like doubt, jealousy, and anger can actually draw you closer to God. Find out how when you request your copy of Overcoming Pain in Your Life. Call with your donation today, 1-800-350-WALK, 1-800-350-9255. Now, here's Dr. Yung with more proven truth about how to handle hot emotions.
He's saying, walk with me to the courtroom. As you walk to the courtroom, you would come to the person you were going to trial about over a debt in this situation. Jesus is saying, go to that person and settle outside of court. Said, if you had done that, you'd save yourself a lot of pain, a lot of money, and perhaps save yourself being thrown into prison. Because in a courtroom, ladies and gentlemen, do I have to tell you, anything can happen. How many of you have been on a jury, or you've had some legal issue, and it looked like it was going in a court of law, but you settled one way or another outside of court, would you lift your hand? I've done that. Yeah, okay, good. How many of you did not and went into a court of law and wished that somehow you had settled, would you lift your hand? All home. I'll rest my case. But this is what Jesus is saying, settle it now. Swallow your pride now. And that is good counsel. Now, all of this is about anger. Jesus is dealing with the basic emotion of anger. And listen, ladies and gentlemen, anger is a common emotion to every one of us. How many of you saw that test that I offered before church tonight? How many of you saw the test on the screen? Everybody else came in late. I gave an anger test on the screen. If you'll stay at the church, we'll run it again. We get through. And it's about 25 things you check and see whether you're angry or not. You know, I checked 8 of them. If you have 10, you're in trouble. You have 15, and it's easy to have. I discovered I have a lot of anger in me. And you will discover the same thing because anger is common to everybody. And it's a deadly, deadly thing to carry around inside of you, or a deadly thing to carry around inside of me.
You've been listening to The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Yung. Remember, Dr. Yung wants to send you a special CD series called Overcoming Pain in Your Life to thank you for your donation to help The Winning Walk end the year strong. In these seven insightful messages, he shares proven truth about how painful emotions like doubt, jealousy, even anger can actually draw you close to God. Find out how when you request your copy of Overcoming Pain in Your Life. Call with your donation today, 1-800-350-WALK, 1-800-350-9255. And join us again tomorrow for more proven truth about anger management. That's Thursday, right here, on The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Yung.
Winning Walk is a listener-supported ministry. Your prayers and financial support enable Dr. Yung to be heard on this station. Write us at Winning Walk, Box 3366, Houston, Texas, 77253. That's Box 3366, Houston, Texas, 77253.